Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Lord, at this time we want to come to you and thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed on us this week. Lord, we know everything we have is from you. Lord, we just pray that you will prepare our hearts now for the message you'll have your servant bring to us this morning. Just put your hands on Brother Cal, lift him up, and let us listen, and let us apply the things that he teaches us and brings to us this morning to our lives. Let us take him from this building. Let others know that we've been here and that we serve you. Help us to be a light in this community with your strength and your power that we can do. These things I ask in your name. Amen.
Brother. Well, good morning. I'll give you one more chance. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good morning. At my stage of the game, it's a good morning to be anywhere. But I would rather be here than anywhere else. I'd rather be in the house of the Lord with the Lord's people on the Lord's day than anywhere else, unless it would be there. And I'm looking forward to that. And that's what we're getting ready for. That's what we're preparing for. Let me just, in a way, a reminder, who's your one Sunday? June the 13th. Who's your one Sunday? June the 13th. You're going to bring that neighbor, that lost person, that friend, that co-worker, that family member, that classmate that you would love to see come to Christ. Bring them, kidnap them, bribe them with lunch, whatever you got to do. Bring who's your one that Sunday. And the Southern Baptist churches all across our country that morning are going to be preaching an evangelistic message in hopes that we'll see a lot of folks saved. How many of you would like to see over a dozen people saved that Sunday? Well, it could happen, but we got to do our part. We need to pray, and we need to be faithful to bring folks here. All right? And speaking of some folks that are here, I just want to... My brother-in-law, Dwight Dixon, is with us, and my niece, Jessica. They're here all the way from Jamestown, Tennessee this morning. And then my sister, Becky, is with us. She's from Murfreesboro. And it's always a blessing to have your family with you in worship. Amen. And Diana's in the back in the nursery taking care of the twins. And God is good. Amen. Well, that's enough infomercials this morning. So if you turn with me to your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we're going to be in an unbelievable pericope passage of Scripture this morning. Oh, my goodness. I'm like Billy Walker. I've been itching all week to get up. And when you find Romans chapter 1, we'll start here at verse 18. We're going to back up, Ellen, to verse 16. Let's all stand as we honor God's word. I know we've been on our feet all morning. Andrew, you'll understand this one day. When your knees are hurting and your hips are killing you and your ankles are bad, you'll get it one day. But if you can stand one more time this morning, let's honor God's word in that way, okay? Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Well, let me say that again, Second Mile. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone." I said, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, now listen to this, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And we're going to move on down through verses 28 or through 32 as we preach this morning. But let's one more time just ask God to bless and honor His Word. Father, We need to hear truth this morning. We live in a world of untruth. And we need to understand, God, just what it is that you want us to know this morning. And I pray, God, that your manifest presence might be so real and so thick in this place that when we leave here, we'll all know we've been in your presence. And God, please, don't let anybody leave Second Mile Church on their way to hell today. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. Please be seated. Now, I want to embarking on a new sermon series this morning, and I want to kind of tell you where I'm coming from with all of it. The truth about truth is the new sermon series. We're going to be in it in these major doctrines of the Christian faith for the next 7, maybe 8 weeks. I don't know how long. But here's what's behind all that. Our kids in the month of June on Wednesday nights are going to be digging up truths from the Scriptures in our Destination Dig Vacation Bible School. Wednesday nights in June, our kids are going to be digging up great truths from the Scripture. You know what I got to thinking? It'd be great for all the kids to start digging up truth. And so we started Wednesday night in our praise and prayer meeting talking about some of the great truths. And you know, the Bible tells us that we're to contend earnestly for the faith that was once and for all delivered to the saints. Well, the Scriptures tell us we're to be able to defend, to give a defense to anyone who asks us for the reason of the hope that is within us. We've been singing about hope. Can you tell someone why you have hope? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at, these great tenets of the faith over the next few weeks. Can you tell I'm excited about it? And I can't wait to share what God's doing in my life in the Scriptures and through the Spirit. So now, title of the message this morning. Now, the sermon notes didn't get here today. Terrence had an awful morning, and so if you've got a piece of paper and a pen and you know how to write, guess what? You can take your own personal notes this morning. So the outline will be on the screen behind me, but can you prove that God really does exist? Is God real? Well, the word prove is a real strong word. You know, a prosecuting attorney will get up and say, I'm going to prove today beyond a what? Reasonable doubt. Yeah, shadow of a doubt, reasonable doubt. And then they go on to present that. And so can you really prove that God exists? Well, I think you can definitely give some big reasons why God exists. Scripture does that. Now, I've had this kind of conversation with people. but you know what? Folks cannot prove that there is no God either. All right? And I've done some studying this week and looking at Gallup polls and surveys, Barna facts and all this stuff. And you know what I found out? 87% of Americans, when asked this question, do you believe there's a God? You know what 87% of America will say this morning? Yes. But now 10% of those would answer the question, no. In other words, 10% of the people that live in America would say, there is no God. Now, I don't know what happened to the other 3%. Maybe they fell off the edge of the earth or something. I don't know. But 10%, that number's growing. Now, here's what I believe about that. There's very few true atheists. Because you see, and I got in a conversation with somebody who was a self-proclaimed atheist a while back. And I said, so you don't believe that there is a God? He said, no. I know there's not a God. And I said, do you know everything there is to know about everything? And he looked at me and he said, well, no, I don't know everything there is to know about everything. And I said, so there's some body of knowledge out there that you don't know about? He said, yeah, probably. And I said, well, let's just assume that maybe out there in that body of knowledge, God exists. He said, oh, I know what you're doing. You're saying I'm really an agnostic, not an atheist. And I said, that's right. And I said, so you really believe, you're not sure if there's a God, but if there is a God, he's detached and doesn't have anything to do with mankind or the universe, right? He said, oh yeah, that's right. Well, back to the question, can we prove God exists? Well, the Bible gives some excellent reasons to the existence of God. And now, what the Bible teaches us, brothers and sisters, we don't have an information problem. We've got a sin problem. That's why Paul brings up in verse 16 this issue of salvation. It's what everyone needs, amen? And he ties in verse 17 salvation to righteousness. And then in verse 18, he says that mankind, human beings, rather than receiving the truth in righteousness, what do? They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And so, hence, there's the need to understand that there is a God. And this God has spoken and he has shown up. He showed up in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus was God spilling himself out in human flesh. But I want to tell you, we not only have the living word, we got the written word. This is Jesus' words right here. And so we're going to look at this issue of, does God really exist? Is God real? How many of y'all grew up singing a song called, My God is real, real in my soul? Nobody. How many of y'all even know what a highway hymnal is? That's what I thought y'all need to get out. Goodness. I used to sing that Dwight at the nursing home in Wayne County. And we sang it every Wednesday. Anyways, does God exist? I'm glad you asked. Here's the first point of the message this morning. People know God. Look at your neighbor and say, yep, people know God. Where'd you get that? Look at verse 19. Romans 1, because what may be known of God is manifest in them. That word manifest means to make plain. Okay? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them. For God, here it is, has shown it to them. What has God shown to folks? Here it is, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that everyone is without excuse. Without excuse. God has made Himself visible. The invisible attributes of God have been made known to us. Over and over and over and over again, ever since day one. God does not play hide and seek with His identity. He's made Himself plain. How so? Well, He brings up creation, right? How many of you have ever gone outside at night and looked up at the millions and millions and millions of stars and thought, there must be a God. Well, that's God making Himself known to us through creation. Man, I was up early this morning. I looked out my window and girls, the flowers are blooming. Then I went outside and you can smell the grass growing, hear the birds singing. I mean, everywhere you look in creation, it's God. Screaming, I'm real. And the scripture here says, and people know that I'm real. We just don't want to admit it. God's made it real plain for all of us. We didn't have to do anything on our part. You almost can't miss it. The issue is we want to miss it. People do know God, that He is real. And we see His invisible attributes in creation. And by the way, we also understand that God is real through conscience. God has revealed Himself to us through our conscience. You know, how many of you love to pray out there in creation? Or you love to go read your Bible? I'm crazy. You might see me at some cemetery around here reading my Bible and talking to God. I love to do that out in creation. And God just speaks to me and makes Himself real to me through my conscience. You know, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslims in Iran, Iraq, South America, all over the world that are having dreams about the Messiah. Do you know that? God has revealed Himself not only through creation but through conscience. And of course, Paul's telling us here, he brings up the issue of the cross. God has revealed Himself to us through the cross. Creation, conscience, and the cross. He's made it plain for everyone to see. He has identified Himself. He has shown us Himself. I mean, he says, for God has shown it to them. His invisible attributes. God's revealed His power and His glory and His majesty and His awesomeness and His love and His holiness and His righteousness. God's revealed all that to us. And yet, what do? We suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God help us. And we're all without excuse. We're all without excuse. I got into, don't you love getting in intense discussions with family members? Whew. I had a family member several years ago talking about this very thing. Well, now, Cal, you don't really think that those people that live down in the jungle on the Amazon River who've never heard about Jesus are going to hell, do you? I said, it doesn't really matter what I think. That's what God said. Everyone is without excuse. All of us. He's revealed Himself. People do know God. They just don't want to admit it. That's where we are with this. I tell you what, Ellen, we're going to put you to work this morning. Colossians 1, 16 and 17. Throw that up on the screen, would you? Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For by Him all things were created. Hello? That are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things what? Consist. Thank you for scrolling. There it is. People know God. He has revealed His invisible attributes to us through creation, through our conscience. How many times you've been somewhere and the Holy Spirit just makes Himself known to you? Through the cross. And guess what, my brothers and sisters? We are all without excuse. And you see, here's what I believe about the person down in the Amazon jungle along the Amazon River that's never heard the gospel. They go out and they look up and they see the night sky and they begin to understand, you know what? That speaks of intelligent design. There must be a creator. And you know what God does? He sends a missionary their way. That's why it's important for us to get the gospel to people. Hello? And I want to tell you what, there are people here in Montgomery County and Clarksville in your neighborhood that are just as lost as that person down on the Amazon River. Whew. People know God. Y'all better pray we're not here for about 2 or 3 hours this morning. People know God. And then secondly, people don't honor the God they know. People don't honor the God they know. Here it is. Look at verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It is a very dangerous thing to reject and turn away from God. Because every time you reject the truth, you know what happens? A downward spiral starts. And these folks, humanity, when God has revealed Himself to them and they don't want any part of that. They want to live life apart from God. They don't want to glorify God. They don't want to give God praise. They don't want to serve God. They don't want to thank God. And their minds become... Do you know why you're hearing this all the time? Why people are calling evil good and good evil? Do you know why? Because people are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And they're in this downward spiral and they don't even know it. And their hearts become darkened. Their hearts become darkened to the truth. Isn't that sad? There comes a point in time, and I know not when, I know there's a place, I don't know when it is, but eventually you can sin away your day of grace. Because every time you turn from the truth and do not receive the truth, your heart grows a little bit darker. Y'all hear me quote this all the time. Ellen, let's throw this one up. Jeremiah 17:9. Are y'all with me? Tell you what, let's read this one together. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart of mankind is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God does. And so we're all without excuse. You see, what we need is a new heart. And our great God is the only one who can give you a new heart. I know this is tough stuff to hear today, but this is right out of the Bible, guys. You see what's happened to us as a country and as a nation and even as a church. We have strayed away from the truth. And so we believe all these crazy things, you know. People know God. People suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God has revealed Himself clearly. Given us all His, showed us His invisible attributes, His power, His glory, His majesty, His knowledge, His love, His compassion. He showed all that to us, and yet we don't want to see it. We don't want to admit it. We want to miss it. And we fail to honor God for who He is. Now, y'all, it's getting worse. Just hang in with me. I'm going to give you some hope before we leave, all right? Look at verse 22. Now, I didn't say this. God said this. Look at verse 22 in Romans 1. Professing to be wise, they become what? Fools. That's what God said. Do you know the word that we get from this word? Moron. Means moronic. It is a foolish thing. It is a moronic thing to suppress the truth about God. Not smart. And yet these folks, these folks think that they're wise. I want to tell you what. If you're not careful, you can get too much education. As Granny used to say, you can wind up being an edumacated fool. Understand where I'm coming from? And you need to remember who you're talking to, because folks who don't believe and folks who have walked away from God and people who will not receive the truth, when you're talking to them, they think you're the fool. Well, you remember who God says you're talking to. They are the fool. Let me get this one real quick for you, and I'll jump around here. Ellen, just let me grab this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, listen to what verse 18 says. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Whew, glory. Verse 20, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, to the Greeks, foolishness. You see, Gentile folks, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom. Here it is, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. What Paul's saying is, even the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom. Even the weakness of God, which there is no weakness, is stronger than the strength of men. And when you're talking to someone who professes to be agnostic or an atheist or even somebody who's just lost and putting God off, you need to understand who you're talking to. Now, we don't put down unbelievers. We do not look down our noses at them. We don't cast judgment on them. Why? Throw up Titus 3:3, sister. I told you we were going to work, didn't I? Titus 3:3, look at this verse. For we ourselves were also once what? Disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's who we used to be. So don't you look down your nose at some lost person. Because that's who you used to be. That's who I was. 1 Corinthians 6 and 19 and 20 are talking about same stuff. All these people in these immoral relationships and all this horrible, gross sexual immorality, all this stuff. And Paul reminded us, that's who some of you were until you were washed. Aren't you thankful for God's salvation? Now, we need to follow this real quick. Go back to Romans chapter 1. And so people are moronic. They're foolish because they won't submit to the truth. And look what happens in verse 3. They worship the creation rather than the Creator. Isn't that foolish? Look at what it says. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. How stupid it is for us to create a man-made idol like a golden calf and worship it. We do that all the time. You see, God's created in us. We're going to worship someone or something. God's plan is that we might worship Him. But man is so moronic and so foolish, we try to create things, put things together, and we worship. The Bible calls that idolatry. Look again at this downward spiral. Those who will not receive the truth commit gross sexual immorality. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They mar the image of God. By the way, can I just go on record online? Hello, all you online folks. God created us male and female. Yes, He did. Now this is gonna really tick some of you younger folks off, because this is not what you're hearing in school and around town. But look at verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Brothers and sisters, if the Word of God says it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter what we think. It matters what has God said. And you parents and grandparents need to be sharing this truth with your kids, because they'll come home and tell you, oh, that's okay. That's what they believe. Well, you can believe a lie. Can you tell how passionate I am about this stuff? Man. And then eventually what happens to these folks, they commit gross sexual immorality. They worship idols. They become worshipers of idols. And then thirdly, they mar the image of God. And then lastly, they lose their minds. Here it is, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, ding, 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 disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Did you hear what I just said? Folks who practice this kind of stuff, these horrible sins that he's listing here for us, they deserve death, separation from God, but also those who approve of their practice. Am I getting through to y'all? Because your kids will come home and tell you, oh, that's okay. Because they're being indoctrinated with untruth. If y'all don't fire me today, you're going to miss a good chance. Here's the last thing I want to say. I told you I was going to give you some hope. I'm not going to leave everybody bleeding. Here it is. Are you ready for this? Well, the rest of you want to just stick with this ugly stuff the rest of the afternoon? Are you ready for the good stuff?
Yes.
All right. I want to go back to verses 18, 19, and 20. We need to remind people that they know God. We need to remind people that they really do know God. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest. He's made it plain to them. For God has shown it to them. He has showed up and showed out. He has told us and showed us and proven to us who He is. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Here's what we need to be reminding people. We need to be reminding folks of these great truths we've learned today. We need to remind folks, you know God. You know who He is. You've seen Him. He's given you His invisible attributes. He's shown you through creation, through your conscience, through the cross. Over and over, God's made Himself known to you. He's made Himself plain. And you need to know this. You know right and wrong. You know right and wrong. Now people will try to tell you, oh, that's not wrong. No, they know it's wrong. They just don't want to admit it. They know it's wrong. And people know that judgment is necessary. They know that. And hence, their need for King Jesus. And so what is our part in all of this? If you hadn't heard anything else, hear this today. Hear this. We need to be reminding folks of these great truths that we've heard this morning so that we can lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because they are all without excuse. Everybody. And it is dependent upon us to share with them. Now, I don't know who you are, all of you. don't know where you came from, don't know what your story is, don't know all of that, know some of you. But I have come here today to tell you, you desperately need a relationship with Christ Jesus. Amen. That's why we're doing Who's Your One Sunday. Jesus said you must be born again. You see, our first birth was defective. You need a new heart. I needed a new life. And God gave me all that in the person of His Son. And He'll do the same for you today. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whoever you've run around with, whoever you've done it with, God loved you so much that He sent His one and only Son to live a perfect, sinless life and pay the price for all your sin and mine on a cross. And He became the sacrifice, satisfied God's wrath, God's judgment for our sin. And He died for you, and He died for me. And the best part of the story is, He's not dead anymore. He got up from the grave, never to die again. And He's offering eternal life and life abundant right now for each one of you. And can I just tell you lovingly, it would be foolish for you to walk away from that truth today. Father, I know sometimes I'm too blunt. I just don't know sometimes how to say things, but just to say them. And I guess that's the gift of prophecy today, speaking truth into people's lives. But it is the desire of my heart to see every one of us living that truth out. And in order for you to do that, God, you're going to have to change some souls and some hearts in here today. Because there's lost people in every single church. We heard it last night. We heard about a deacon being saved. I don't know if there's a deacon in here that needs to be saved, but there's someone here that needs Christ Jesus. You brought them here to hear this message. Lord, I just want to say we believe in God. We are following Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we're going to let Him take us wherever He wants us to go. And if you'd be willing today, if you're not sure, you got issues, we all have issues. If you'd be willing to turn from your sin, that's the Bible word for repent, and turn to Jesus and place all of your trust, all of your everything that you are into everything that He is, just by calling on His name, He will save you here today. But it's a brand new life. And you've got to have a coming out party so that everybody knows. And we're going to ask you to follow Him in believer's baptism today. If you've not done so, you need to claim Christ. You need to come forward. Pray with me. We'll have some others here that can pray with you and for you. There's a second mile card back here. If you made that decision, you can fill that card out and put it on the bucket, put it in the bucket on the table. But oh, don't you leave here without receiving the truth today. God, help our church family to be ambassadors, to be witnesses, to be sharers of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.